UK Wine Show, show number 39, Fair Trade Wines with Nicholas Ingham. G'day, welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 39 for the 23rd of February 2007. My name's Chris Scott, and this week we're going to be talking to Nicholas Ingham of Equality Wines. Nicholas is a wine importer, and he's working with a Chilean co-op called Los Lomos to bring Fairtrade wines into the UK. I thought it would be a good idea to have a chat to him about Fairtrade wines, since it's Fairtrade Fortnight starting on the 26th of February and going through to the 11th of March. There's quite a few Fairtrade wine events going on over the next couple of weeks, and some have got some free tasting. According to Fairtrade, the prime objective is to develop access to markets in developing countries for producers who tend to get marginalised by conventional trading structures. You'll hear from Nicholas that he's quite passionate about this, and he comes across quite forcefully. But Fairtrade produces a range of products now, including goods such as bananas, cocoa, coffee, cotton, dried fruits, fish, honey, juices, nuts, rice, spices, sugar, tea, and lastly but not least, wine. There are loads of Fairtrade wine tastings if you are interested in a spotter tasting. I'll put a link in the show notes to where you can find out more about these Fairtrade wine tastings. Simply go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk and select the header for this week's show, and you can go to the notes section from that with the details on those tastings. But next up, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks very much, Chris. Next week sees the start of Fairtrade Fortnight, the annual campaign to promote products that ensure a better deal for growers in developing countries. And when it comes to Fairtrade wine, the word still needs to get about. Only 0.3% of wine sold in the UK is Fairtrade, according to importer Nicholas Ingham of Equality Wines. This is in spite of the fact that 51% of the population now recognise the Fairtrade mark. However, Fairtrade wine imports into the UK are growing. They represented only 80,000 cases in 2004, but by last year an estimated 225,000 cases were imported, according to Nick Ingham. One retailer that is certainly doing its best to get consumers acquainted with Fairtrade wines is the Co-op. The supermarket chain has the largest own label range of these wines of any retailer and was the first to introduce the UK to Fairtrade wine from Argentina. Perhaps not surprisingly, therefore, the company has just won the own label range of the year in the Drinks Retailing Awards for its Fairtrade offering. And to flag the Fairtrade fortnight, the Co-op is doing even more to encourage consumers to give Fairtrade a go. They're taking 20% off the bottle price of not only all of its own label range, but also all branded Fairtrade wines. Next up, South African wine producer Villa Fonte is filming its 2007 harvest and putting out a daily video cast. The idea is to give consumers an insight into what's involved in getting a high-quality red wine to bottle. General Manager Mike Radcliffe thinks too many wine drinkers have a disconnect between the realities of making wine and the glamour of drinking high-end cuvées. He hopes that the Harvest Video Diary will do something to change this, as well as making interesting viewing. He said they were working hard at capturing the essence of the harvest, which he described as a little grungy and rough. The Villa Fonte team are videoing the action as it happens during February and March. The footage is edited the same day into a 30-second clip, which can be viewed at winefilms.co.za. Mike says it's a great way to keep in touch with fans of the company's wine, and judging by the response so far, it is working. In the first week, the video cast had 29,000 hits, and that was without any marketing or promotion. As a comparison, last year the company blogged the harvest and had 34,000 unique hits over the entire 2 months. And finally, well done to Chris, who has been shortlisted for the International Wine and Spirit Competition's Communicator of the Year award. Chris is shortlisted for the launch of the UK's first wine podcast in 2006 and for his success in communicating face-to-face with consumers through 3050 wine tastings. 5 other candidates are up for the award, which recognises the individual who has contributed the most to wine or spirit communication in the past 12 months. These are Tim Atkin, who writes a weekly column for The Observer, Matt Skinner, sommelier of Jamie Oliver's 15 restaurants and author of The Juice Wine Guide, Sarah Jane Evans, a newly awarded Master of Wine, who contributes to magazines such as BBC Good Food and Olive, and Wine Anorak blogger and Sunday Express columnist Jamie Good. Jamie's first book, Wine Science, won the Glenfiddich Award for Drinks Book of the Year. Completing the list is Canadian Natalie McLean, a writer and sommelier whose first book, Red, White and Drunk All Over, was published last year. The winner will be announced at the end of March at Vinitaly in Verona. Previous holders of the accolade include Oz Clark in 2006, along with Matthew Jukes, Jancis Robinson and Hugh Johnson. That's it for this week, but 20 years ago, on the 20th of Feb 1987, Baby Sham was launched in litre bottles. While the popularity of the Sweet Fizz Baby Sham was still at its peak, the makers launched a litre-sized bottle to keep the momentum of the brand's Christmas activity going. These celebration bottles were sold at the same price as the 75-centilitre bottle as an added sales incentive. And that's all for this week. Back over to you, Chris.
Thanks for that, Jane. It's pretty exciting being put forward as the Wine Communicator of the Year, but with stiff competition, it's anybody's race. Next up, we're going to be talking to Nicholas Ingham about Fairtrade Wines. Hi, I'm here with Nick Ingham from Equality Wines Limited. How are you, Nick?
Very well indeed, thank you. Very well.
We're going to be talking about Fairtrade Wines today. I might as well start with, what is Fairtrade?
Well, Fair Trade is a mechanism, it's an organisation that's been set up that creates a mechanism that means a fair and stable price for products and ultimately for the benefit of farmers without too much, big brother pressure on pricing. And I think, extra income for farmers and workers, basically to give them a good level of existence on a very, very basic level.
Is it geared more to subsistence farming?
I wouldn't say subsistence, no. I think subsistence is absolute poverty. There are a lot of people in this world who've moved from absolute poverty into seeking to grow a crop. The question is how the people who can grow a crop on a small basis can then compete against multinationals who go and throw down huge amounts of hectares of a crop and absolutely smash the price per kilo of that particular crop.
So fair trade is about helping farmers. It always says there's some social responsibility there.
It's not just social responsibility, it has to be said. It's also getting greater respect for the environment as well, which I think is one of the hidden agendas. There are criteria for the environment that are quite strict within the fair trade regime. So it is a truly social and ethical and environmental concept.
But they're not as keen on the environment as maybe organic or biodynamic producers?
No, they have to be commercially viable or able at least to grow their crop in areas of the world where the crop can grow but it does need assistance along the way, yeah.
How big is fair trade?
Well, fair trade currently has a turnover of just over $1 billion across 20 countries.
That's US dollars?
That's US dollars. And, it is quite big, but it's growing fast. And it's all about people understanding what it's about. I know that there are a lot of people out there who are very sceptical about it as to, what is fair, why should people be helped at all. It is growing, and it's growing because there is a genuine need in the market for it.
How does fair trade help these farmers?
Well, it helps farmers by giving a better benefit or through a social benefit, giving a better basic quality of life. So that can include anything from basic health cover through to education, water in order to grow crops, housing, sanitary for workers, conforming to the globalised requirement for basic quality of food hygiene, for instance. I mean, that can be very expensive to put a little production unit through that. And all of this needs to happen. And how do you get that to third world producers or cooperatives when, without the assistance?
How does it all work?
Well, it works on a basic commodity value. The price of, in my case, grapes is the price of grapes, and the farmers need to get the price of, per kilo for their grapes. However, they then need or are given a social premium on top of that, and that is managed by a social committee that represents all of the growers. So you have all of the growers with a social committee who have the social premium in a fund, and the benefit and how that money is spent is determined by the social committee for the benefit of the environment, but most importantly the people, because it's the social people and the benefit that it brings to society around them, not just the growers, not just the workers, but also into the local community. Because there's huge, we all hear in the UK about how jobs become, 5,000 jobs are lost, but the impact is on 14,000 or 15,000 people.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same in any rural location. You know, little growers make a big difference to the local community. So there's a big social impact as well.
You've been helping a Chilean company get their wine, their fair trade wines, to market in the UK.
Yeah.
How does the access to the market work?
In the UK, there are a lot of people who are now very aware of the environment, very aware of their fellow man, very aware about what's right and wrong, what's fair and not fair. You only have to look at what's happened around the world with Bono and Bill Gates declaring their drive to make the world a fairer place. There is a will and a need of people who I think are getting sick of being controlled by the big brands to want to support their fellow man. And it's true also if you just look at farmers' markets.
Yeah, true.
You know, people want to support their local, their small producer.
I suppose what I'm trying to get at is the co-op that you work with produce grapes. Mm-hmm. Do they make the wine?
Yes.
And then they bottle it up. They get a label from Fairtrade that they're allowed to put on their wine.
They're allowed to use that, yeah.
Is that a licensing process where they get audited and all that sort of thing?
It's very vigorously audited, and I think it's very important for the consumer to know that fair trade actually does mean fair trade, and that there is not profiteering, that there is a social amount of money, a social fund from every purchase that is made, and that goes to the social committee, and that is ring-fenced and policed and safe.
The wine's produced, it's yep. got a fair trade sticker, and it's, you know, there's a committee that hands out cash to the community for social infrastructure.
Yeah.
Do they then sell the wine to you, or does yep. it go through fair trade? It goes through...
Yeah, I have to register as a fair trade importer, so nobody can just bring in fair trade product or any product and put fair trade on it and sell it. You have to be a licensed importer. That means that we in the UK have to pay in the UK the Fair Trade Foundation a license fee for importing and distributing fair trade product, again to make sure it's properly policed.
Okay, so you bring the wines in and then you distribute it and sell it through various channels.
Indeed, yeah.
Okay, so fair trade don't actually get involved in the production or anything. They're more of a licensing, keeping an eye, make sure everything's equality throughout.
Exactly. And I think it's what I was able to bring to the winery was the assistance of a very good New Zealand winemaker that I've been working with for a long time, Peter Mackey, and he has gone and helped them to make sure that the quality of the wine is absolutely top-notch, and he's worked with their resident winemaker, Felipe Zinuga, and by this combination of bringing the professional knowledge, the styles, making sure that the wines are of the right style, of the right quality, and then I've been busily working on positioning the prospect of fair trade, which is quite an interesting subject in its own self.
When the wines land here, they're obviously sold at a premium. I look at coffee in the supermarket that's fair trade versus normal coffee, and there is a small premium on there for that.
Mm.
What sort of premium are they looking at for a fair trade wine over a normal bottle?
Well, I think it's important to understand. It's a very complex question that you've just asked. You can get wine on the shelf at $2.99. You won't find fair trade at $2.99. I would actually state quite strongly that if there is a wine on the market at $2.99, it's costing somebody money to put it on that shelf at $2.99. You can't actually do it with duty and VAT where it is. So it would be wrong to think that wine that is above $2.99 with fair trade on it is a premium. So what
I'm more like for like, you know, yeah. If you get a £5 bottle of wine, you can, you know, tell a four from good bottle of wine from a six good bottle of wine. Is there going to be like a pound more, or is it in the pennies?
I don't believe it is. I mean, our wine that we bought in from Chile that Pete has been working on, we put it into the International Wine Challenge. We got a gold medal. It's the first gold medal ever awarded to a fair trade wine.
And do you want to give us the name of the wine?
Well, yeah, the wine is called Equality by Las Lomas, and this particular wine is a Cabernet Sauvignon that won the gold medal. At £5.79 retail, is that a lot of money for a gold medal wine from the International Wine Challenge?
I haven't tried it, so I can't comment, but that's not a bad price.
Well, exactly, and I would say that we positioned ourselves at a realistic price without wanting to under-position or over-position. I think it's front row for a penny, frankly. We're trying to over-deliver on quality for £5.79 a bottle. Granted, it's not in the mainstream. It's not £3.99 or £4.50 for huge volume sales. But when you consider that there is only 0.3 of a percentage point of all the wine shipped into the UK is fair trade wine, I think it's a very fair price for a very good quality product. And I think that's important. Charity is not what this is about.
Well, there's two things there. Charity, fair trade is about trading, isn't it?
It's about trading, not charity. Very interestingly, I had a huge argument with the general manager at the winery about this, because I kept saying, well, you know, I think that the consumer, you know, they perceive fair trade as being charity, that they'll feel better about themselves. He said, it's not charity. And that's where we came up with the name Equality, because it is about equality. It's about recognizing everybody on an equal term and giving them an equal opportunity.
You mentioned an interesting point. You said about 0.3% of all wine in the UK is fair trade. Do you know roughly how much that equates to in cases of wine or bottles of wine?
Yeah, it's about 225,000 cases.
That's fair volume.
It's a fair volume, but it's a small drop in the ocean of our annual consumption in this country.
How's the growth gone?
Well, it's been huge. I mean, in 2004, there was about 80,000 dozen that was shipped into the UK. 2005, it was 160,000 dozen. And 2006, going to be about 225,000 dozen. So we're expecting, well, it's certainly doubling in the next 2 years.
One of the things I can't quite get my head around is what countries are allowed to be fair trade. Some countries seem to be able to produce fair trade products, even though I would have thought them to be, you know, fully developed countries.
You'll see on the Fair Trade logo that not only is it the logo with Fair Trade, but part of the logo is the term guarantees a better deal for the third world producers. And so it is third world by definition. It's only producers in the third world. And the term third world that you were touching on there, what is third world and what is not third world, is a very, very big question. I think, frankly, it's something that I could not comment on as to how or what determines a third world country. What I would say is that, I mean, my definition or my understanding is certainly South America, where Chile is deemed as third world. Otherwise, we wouldn't be allowed to use the fair trade logo. And Africa is third world, and Asia. And parts of the Far East are third world. Apart from that, I'm not sure how it's calculated, whether it's on GDP or, and also what's going to happen when, as the world develops, some of the third world countries no longer are third world.
Yeah. You know, you were saying earlier, not in the interview, but earlier, about the area where you get your grapes is quite very poor.
Well, I think it is very poor, and I think it's an interesting point, because fair trade at the moment is determined by that statement of a better deal for third world producers. And what is going to happen when third world producers are no longer deemed as third world? Well, you know, to me, there is a need for fairness through trade almost anywhere. I mean, here we are looking out over London, and beautiful skyline as it is, there is absolute poverty in London. And there are some people, luckily, there's not much of it around, and there are some people that argue, well, of course, you've got all the social services and all that kind of thing. But, you know, there is absolute poverty there. But in Chile, there is total poverty in certain areas, and it would be very wrong to think for a moment just because they've got a smart capital city with lots of money being poured in, and they've got tarmac roads and running water in certain areas, that reflects on the whole country. The area that we go to down in Cauquenes is extremely poor, very, very poor. And, you know, to bring social benefits with health insurance and education, sanitary, water, it's all very, very worthy and something I'm extremely proud to be a part of, I must say.
I think we'll wrap it up then, Nick. Thanks very much. Fair trade, not for charity. Cheers.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Nicholas. Nicholas is very passionate about fair trade wines, and that came through in the interview, I thought. Next week, we're going to be talking to Joel Peterson from Ravenswood Wines. Ravenswood is the world's largest producer of Zinfandel, and with a slogan like No Wimpy Wines, Joel is a great guy to interview. So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show was brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show was produced by Jane Scott and recorded and edited by Chris Scott. The news was read by Jane Scott and researched by Sandra Clement. The music for the UK Wine Show is Griff de Jingle 1 by Marcel de la Jatelle and Silence by Etoile Noire.